Thank you, Stanley, for reading that. I like that scripture that was just read. In it, Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and there's arguing going on there about, you know, who's a better leader, who's a better speaker, who they like. You know, I like Paulos, I like Paul, and things like that, and who they follow, and all those kinds of things. And so Paul writes them this, and he says, "What are we? You know, we can't make anyone grow." And I like that from the perspective of being a minister, because I think a lot of times ministers or elders or deacons, leaders in the churches, they put a lot of pressure on themselves to make things grow. And we think, well, we need to, if we did this, then, you know, the church would grow. And we look at numbers and we count and we're like, oh man, you know, how do we get more people to come? And we put that pressure on ourselves to make a church grow or to make a disciple grow. And scriptures like this remind me that I can't make a single thing grow. My wife loves plants. We have a lot in our backyard, and cactuses and all sorts of things. Cactuses are definitely the way to go. I'm sure of this. That's the way to go. But she says things like, oh, I need to water this, or I'm giving it too much water, or I need to move this plant to get more sunlight over here. She never says, I need to make this plant grow, because she can't. There's nothing she can do to actually physically make it grow. She can do things to assist it, to put it in a good position, right, to make sure it has the nutrients that it needs, but she can't make the plant grow. And none of us can make things grow. I'm sure there might be some people in here, when they were younger, they would try to hang by their feet so they could be a little taller, right? We can't make ourselves grow. It doesn't work that way. But for some reason, when it comes to the church, we have this mentality that we are the ones who are responsible for making it grow, when really, I don't think that responsibility falls on us. I think the Bible makes it clear that God is the one who makes it grow. But that doesn't mean we don't have a role to play at all. Because, like Paul says here, we can water, right? Well, he doesn't say fertilize, but we can fertilize, right? There's things that we can do. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I don't have a long sermon planned. Of course, really none of them are long when I plan them. They just turn out that way. So we'll see how it goes. But we're going to start off where we have been in Acts chapter 2. And we've been in this section of Scripture for, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks now, I guess, is this few verses, Acts 42 through 47. And I believe we're going to end it today. And it ends in verse 47. The last sentence in this paragraph that starts in verse 42 says, "The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The Lord added to their number. So let's go back to verse 42 and read through here and see how we got to this point of the Lord adding people to the body of Christ, to the church there in Jerusalem. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." This section of Scripture is always held up as what the New Testament church should look like. Because when you read it, man, it sounds so welcoming and inviting, doesn't it? This sounds like a group of people that you want to be with, that you want to join in with. I mean, look at what they were devoted, not only to the Scriptures, but to each other. And they shared everything they had, and they opened their homes. And we've been talking about this for the last month and a half. Of these are the things that we as Christians need to be doing. I mean, this is vital. If we look, these are tangible things that we can hold up and say, am I, as a believer in Jesus Christ, doing any of these things? Are we, as a congregation, living this out? And if we look at it, and if we're sincere and if we're honest, and if the answer is no, we're not, should we expect the Lord to add to the number here? And I think this is a very black and white Very easy thing to look at and to judge ourselves and hold ourselves up to this standard and say, are we or are we not? Some areas are we doing well and others not so much. And what do we need to change? What do I need to change? What do I need to make different in my life where I look more like what's going on here at the end of Acts chapter 2? I believe when we live the way that we're supposed to live as Christians, as a congregation, we are providing sunlight and we are providing good soil and nutrients that are needed in order to help this body of believers at this place grow. And of course, I know Paul, when he writes to the church in Corinth, he's talking about individuals, right? A person growing. And I'm specifically speaking about the church. But I think also for us individually, this is what helps us grow as well. So I want us to look at this because I want to get the pressure off is what I want to do. I think there's times where we need pressure. And I definitely think we need pressure, no doubt about it. But I think the pressure needs to be in the right spot or in the right places. I don't think we need to carry the burden of what God handles, because that's not our role. And so I want to give you some verses this morning to help you really understand that it is God that adds. All right? It is Him that calls people. We can speak the message of Jesus Christ. We can tell others the gospel. We can serve and look like Jesus and how we live our lives and how we act. But ultimately, it is God who calls and brings people. Okay? Now, He may do it through us. He may use us. But He is the one that calls. And so let's look at these. In the very same chapter that we've been reading, Acts chapter 2, when Peter is giving the sermon on Pentecost, he says in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." That God is the one that is calling out for others. All right? He's the one that is reaching out and is touching people and is calling them to Him. Let's continue on. Let's go with me to Acts chapter... we're in Acts. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read through these verses. If you can turn there, I will tell you where they're at. You can turn there with me in your Bibles if you have it. I don't have it up on the screen. If you just want to listen, just listen. I'll read these. I said it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says, tells the church in Corinth, "God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, He is faithful." That God calls us into fellowship with Jesus. We I know sometimes say things like we want to introduce people to Jesus, or we want to tell people who Jesus is, or show people who Jesus is, and we do these things, but ultimately it is God that calls people into fellowship with Jesus. If I tell someone the gospel, tell them who Jesus is, what He did for them, how He died on the cross for them, and they don't want to be a part of that, they don't want fellowship with that man, with Jesus Christ, is that my fault? Did I do something wrong? Does God want me to lay up at night and think, man, I should have done this or I should have done that, and wear the guilt of that? What did He tell the apostles? When you go into a town and tell them about the kingdom and they don't want to have nothing to do with you, what are you supposed to do? Dust the feet off. You raised your hand. He knows. Knock the feet off your shoes and move on. Now, that doesn't mean you don't care about the person. That doesn't mean you'll never try again or anything like that. But that means that's not on you. That's on them. Right? Now, this isn't for us to go around haughtily and say, well, he don't want no part of it, and, you know, slack in that area. No, it comes from a place from our hearts, right? We do it lovingly. We compassionately want others to know who Jesus is. But if someone doesn't want to hear that, what do I do? Do I beat myself up over it? It's God who calls people into fellowship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12. It says, I'm urging you to live lives worthy of God. Live lives worthy of God, which that sentence right there, I could just run with. How in the world am I supposed to live a life worthy of God? That is, I'm not worthy, right? But we're called to live a life worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. God calls us in to his kingdom and glory. He invites us in to his kingdom. Kingdom. Think of a place that you've been invited that really surprised you. I mean, I don't even, I should have thought about this before I even said that. I don't know. I'm trying to think in my head, where have I been invited? Have you ever been invited somewhere and you're like, whoa, that is like the invitation of the year, right? Imagine if you received an invitation to the White House or something like that, right? Dinner at the White House, and you would brag about that, wouldn't you? Like a place that is so amazing that you were invited to, or someone that you really care about, someone's home, they invite you, and what that means. And do you accept that invitation, or do you not accept that invitation? Because that's what's being offered to people, an invitation into God's kingdom. Sometimes we are the ones who are used to extend that invitation, right? To show people, not that the invitation comes from me. I don't invite you into God's kingdom, right? But it is God himself that has invited you. I may just tell you about the invitation or show you in the Bible that the invitation is extended to you, but that invitation comes from God. If someone says, thanks, but no thanks, I got other things I'd like to do, did they turn me down? But so often as Christians, we wear that guilt. And that's not our role. That's not what we do. It is God who invites. It is God who calls people into his kingdom, just like he called you and me. One more for you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Says, his, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God called us by his own glory and his goodness, because that's just the God that he is, right? He's the God of love. It's his glory, his goodness, through his goodness that he's called us to be with him. And so, church, I really want us to get this, to understand this, that the pressure is not on us in a sense that we are the ones that are going to make this church grow, okay? And I think this is important for us, because we're not supposed to live in a place to where we beat ourselves up. But this doesn't mean that we don't have a role, that we aren't active. And where we started back in Acts chapter 2, when Peter's preaching there at the day of Pentecost, did Peter have a role there? Yes, he had a major role. That he was speaking the gospel to those that were there. So what is our role, church? What do we do? Like Peter said, right? I planted, Apollos watered, right? We plant seeds. That's what we do. We plant seeds, and the seeds are the gospel. When we tell others of who Jesus is, that's what we're doing. We're planting those seeds. When we're living the way Jesus wants us to live, when we're showing others Jesus and what it means to be a follower of his, we are planting seeds. If that seed never takes root and never grows, is that our fault? I think the answer to that is no, that's not our fault. That's the fault of the person who chose to receive or not receive. But what is our role then, church? Because if I want to take that pressure off of saying that we have to be the ones who make it grow, I'm going to put that pressure somewhere else. Right? Well, I'm going to put that pressure where it belongs. And where does that belong? What we've been talking about for the last few weeks. That's where it belongs. So don't ask yourself, what could I have done differently? Or is it my fault that this person's not coming to church? Or is it my fault that this person's not coming to this church? Are you devoting yourselves to the teachings of the apostles, which we're going to say is scripture? Are you devoting yourself to God's word? That's an area in which you can apply pressure to yourself. And when you lay in bed and you think, am I reading the Bible enough? And if the answer is no, that is a very, very easy fix. Then get up and read your Bible, right? Attend Bible class. when it's offered, right? Learn the Bible. Maybe you have a hard time. Some of us can read and understand and study and learn on our own. And that's good. Do that. And others need to have someone teach them and show them. Okay, that is offered here at this congregation. If you're not part of a Bible class, it's offered Sunday before service or on Wednesday nights or at small group. Join in. It's a great way. I've never studied the Bible and come away and thought, well, that was a waste of time. That's never happened. I've done that with television shows. I've done that with movies. I've done that with sporting events. I've done that, looking on the internet. But I've never done that with the Bible. Take advantage of the opportunities that are given to study God's Word. Are you devoting yourself to fellowship? Are you devoting yourself to communing with this body of believers? When we have fellowship meals here, or when we have the opportunity to invite people into our own home, or to accept invitations, are you taking advantage of that? Are you devoting yourself to this body of believers here, of not just eating meals together, but of calling each other on the phone, of talking about life, of sharing of what's going on, of praying together? Are you doing these things? And if the answer is no, again, that's a very easy fix. Maybe not as easy as studying the Bible because it involves other people, but it should be something that you work towards. The breaking of bread into prayer, communion. When we come together on Sunday mornings, it is the most important thing that we do, that we take the bread and we take the juice and we remember the death of Jesus Christ, the one who makes all of this possible, the sacrifice that he gave. Are you giving that attention and time and devotion of your heart that it deserves? Prayer. Are we a church that prays? Are you a person that prays individually, communally? Do we pray? These are areas in which we can apply and should be applying pressure and saying, am I doing these things? This is not complicated. I like the complicated. Man, as a teacher if I can show someone something they've never seen before in the Bible, or something, they're like, whoa, that's a pretty good feeling, I'll admit. All right, that's pretty neat to introduce something to someone. Like, I didn't know that. That's so cool, right? Or to connect something from the Old Testament to the New Testament and be like, well, that's really neat. That's fun to do. But the Bible's not all these great mysteries that we have to try to figure out. There's a lot of very simple application. And a lot of times, we skip over those. And we want to focus on the things that seem impossible. I want to focus on the fact that I'll never be worthy enough of God, right? I can never live a life worthy enough, and I want to focus on the impossible, at least in my mind, right? I know it is possible with God. I want to focus on the impossible and ignore the things that are possible. That's ignorance. That's laziness. That's making excuses. This is the kingdom of God we're talking about. I have a role to do. I have plants I need to water. I have plants I need to put in the sunshine, whether it's my own life or maybe whether it's the body of believers here or others that we're discipling. Am I doing these things? And I could go on and read those, but they're there in the Bible in front of you. Giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your money, sharing with others, right? When we do these things, if we're not doing these things, why would we expect God to add to this church or for me spiritually to grow as a Christian if I'm not doing these simple things that he's put in front of me? And so this is the challenge to us, church, the same challenge that's been offered for the past few weeks. Let's be a church that is about what is being talked about here in these, four or five verses, 42 through 47. We've talked about all of them, except the miracle ones. I'll be honest, I skipped over that one, all right? The miracle ones. You know what? We could talk about it, but once we get the other ones down, then we'll worry about the miracles. How about that? All right? Pick one of these things and start. The time is coming. We're going to be making New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to start running, all right? Whatever. These are our New Year's resolutions, but we're going to start a month early. We're going to be a body of believers that does these simple things that the church in the beginning did, and we're going to watch God grow this church, because that's what he does. He's in the business of growing. When the pandemic started, or sometime around after it started, my family and I went to Fort Worth. And my wife bought a cactus. And you know, I like plants. I really do. I like flowers, right? Like flowers that you don't see every day, right? There's some you see all the time, and you know, but I like exotic looking flowers. But my wife bought a cactus, and it's not even one of those cool cactuses like this, like in the, you know, the cart. It's not even one of those, or it's not even the kind you can eat. It just goes, it's just straight up. And she bought it, and it was about this big, I believe. And I don't know however long ago, a year and a half, however long ago that was. This thing is now taller than most of my children. It has grown tremendously. And it's not one of those where you look back and like, wow, that's really grown. It's like every day you come out and you're like, oh, wow, it has grown. But you should see the and not just that plant but others, but you should see the energy that my wife puts into it. You should see her talk about it, right? And when the freeze is coming, right? When it came this time, you know, she has me out there at always the worst times, either first thing in the morning or last thing at night before I go to bed, moving plants to where they need to be warmer, covering them up, because she's doing the things that she can do so that God will do what he does to make it grow, because it's important to her. Is this you, your personal growth, faith, relationship with Jesus important enough to get out of the freeze, to get water, to get the sunlight? Is this church here important enough for you to do the things that you are able to do to allow God to do what he does and to make it work? And church, that's what it's all about. This is not complex. This is rubber meets the road. Time to get to work and obey our King. Amen? If this church can do anything for you this morning, if we can pray for you, if you want to be baptized, if you want to commit to be a member of this church, those opportunities are extended to you now as we stand and sing.